It is a humbling thing, Father, that we can come before you and just say, here I am. I pray that you would stir up a sense of expectation that here you are. So here I am, here you are. I pray, Father, that wherever we are, that we would know that you are there. I pray that you would continue to teach us about worship and praise and what we can learn by making a choice to just sing because you are God. Lord, I thank you that you care about each person that's here. I thank you for the promise that where two or three gathered together, there you are amongst them. I thank you that we can claim that because we have gathered in your name, you are here. I pray that each person would whisper to themselves, God is here. I pray that you would show them wherever the here is that they need God to be, and that they would trust you to be there. I thank you for what happens when we just lift our voice in praise, regardless of how we feel. I thank you that it is not about our performance, but it's about yours. And I thank you that we can proclaim that our God is here. Wherever the here is, we need him to be. Here in the place that I'm unsure. Here in the place that I'm insecure. Here in the place that makes no sense, that there seems no answer for, God is here. I thank you, Lord, that as you have taught us, that as we lift our voice in praise, it gives you permission to unzip heaven and release promises and release anointing and release a touch that changes us, that transforms our circumstances. I pray, Father, that we would understand that it is not about how we feel or how we act, but you have said you will bless those who worship in spirit and in truth, not in performance and in truth. So I thank you, God, that as we lift up our voice in praise, that you will change us as we declare God is here, God is here, God is faithful, God is able. Thank you, God, for the verses that you've taught me, that you are faithful when I am faithless. I pray that we would lift up our voice declaring that God is faithful, regardless if I feel faithless. I thank you, God, for grace and mercy and resurrecting power. I thank you, Father, for what Paul taught us. It is not about accomplishing it, for I have not arrived, but I press on to the one who is the one. I will know the Lord. I praise you, Father, that if anybody could have done it on works, Paul would have. But I thank you, God, that Paul could not have, and he taught us it is grace, grace. I pray, Father, that as we worship you in praise tonight, that we would worship you in adoration, and we would believe that just as what happened for Jehoshaphat, as we worship you, that our enemies would come against one another. As we worship you, that walls would come down. As we worship you, that chains would fall off. As we worship you, we would be changed. And because you are worth it, we will worship you. And all God's children said, amen. Let's stand and give praise. But an hour is coming, and now is. Repeat after me. An hour is coming.
An hour is coming.
And now is.
When
the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. don't know if it does the same thing for you that it does for me, but it really hits me that Jesus would seek me out to be his worshiper. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers in spirit and in truth. We're all on a journey. It's a journey into the very heart of God. A journey to daily know a God of details. Can I just tell you, I fell in love with a God that cares about everything that impacts you. That I cannot settle for less than praise being personal. And praise needs to be personal because it personally impacts you. We talked about that last week, and I talked about how Kathy, when she talks about her children, she just lights up. Nobody has to tell her, act excited. And I felt that way about my relationship with God from the beginning. I would say to people, look, nobody has written a book about how to act excited when you get engaged. And the reason why nobody has written a book of how to act excited when you get engaged is because people are excited, right? So why read a book about how to get excited when you're engaged? Because it just happens as a response from your inside out. We've spent these 4 Mondays in June to introduce you to a love affair with God where nobody has to tell you to get excited, but tap you into what he has already done for you that is excitable. But an hour is coming and now is where the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Here's my charge to you. Please seek to worship him in spirit and truth. Which, what I want to say to you is, don't do it because we say to do it. Don't do it because of whatever we've said on the first Monday or the second Monday. Do it because you found that place in you that could ignite to an agreement that whatever he is doing really does minister to me. We're on a journey. It's a journey into the very heart of God. It's a journey to know the God of details that whatever we walk through or do, a journey that God touches our heart and understands what we go through. And he wants to use all of our life's experiences to remind us that he sees you, he knows, he cares, and that it doesn't look like what it looks like in me or in Kathy. Our thing on these 4 Mondays is don't do it like Debbie does it or Kathy does it or whoever, or Jean does it. Do it, which is an honest thank you, God, in your life. I mean, how many of you could just get in touch right now with at least one place, just one place, that you could say, I thank you, God, for touching me there? When I worship God, that's how I worship him. I connect to whatever I'm singing to something he has personally actually done in me. I have never been a person that would tell you to do because folks said you ought to do. I have required of God, make it mine, make it personal. What I have found of God is that he is ready to do it. I personally believe that he would not ask anybody to worship him that it did not make a personal difference in them. How many are you glad to know that God knows right where you are tonight? That He loves you right where you are? That He will minister to you right where you are? We have designed tonight's praise time in light of that. That I am going to charge, I'm going to invite you, I'm going to ask you, where's the here that I need God to be here? I mean, how many of you would join me in saying, well, there's a place I could have a God touch? I encourage you from, I've been doing this since 1971. I've had to learn a lot. I am still a baby. I really do feel like I've only scratched the surface of all that God has for me. But I like being a learner. So how many of you would raise your hand and say, I'm just a learner, but I'm willing to learn, right? So that's what's been on our heart about this time of praise. We want to learn to be learners. And the Bible teaches us through Jehoshaphat, through Joshua, through Paul, that they just praised, not because they felt like praising, but because they had been exhorted to praise, and then they discovered the walls came down, the chains fell off, and the doors came open. So tonight, in every area you need, if you will praise God, the walls will come down, the chains will fall off, and the prison doors were open. I encourage you to praise the Lord and join me. I thank God for this privilege we all have. We've only got one more Monday night in June. I hope that you will rejoice in the Lord and realize that it is not about your circumstances, but it's about the God of your circumstances. And the exhortation from the Word tells us that it is not about flesh. Paul said, I have not obtained it, but I die to it and I press on to the God who will do that great thing. I want to know Him. I have laid hold of Jesus. And so we thank you, God, that you are here. Let's continue to praise in a spirit of exhortation and expectation that as we praise Him, that He inhabits our praises. And when He does that, whatever we're praising Him for tonight, it will change whatever we're dealing with tonight. Let's continue to praise. Let's stand and praise. How great Thou art. I pray for each of us tonight that we would take comfort in knowing that it is well with our soul because of what Jesus did at Calvary. I thank you, Father, that He died at Calvary and He gave us resurrecting power. I thank you that there is not a thing in our life tonight that you aren't sensitive to. I praise you that you are not a respecter of persons. I thank you that you meet us right where we are. And if we're just babies at learning, I thank you that you love us there. I thank you that, Lord, if we have learned some more than being a baby, that there is still so much more to learn. I thank you, Father, that we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of learning the power of praise. I pray, Father, that you would minister to each person right where they are tonight. I pray that you would bless and anoint us as we continue in this time together. I pray that you would bless Kathy and that you would minister to us through her, that you would bless her words, that you would bless her teaching, and that you would ignite our spirit in a spirit of learning, Father, that all of us would approach tonight as if it's the first time we ever heard this information. I bind Satan in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that your glory would feel free to fall. Father, that we would want to take our shoes off because we sense your holy ground. I pray that each person here would know that we are glad they are here. And I know, Lord, that if we're humans and we're glad they're here, how much more you that loves him perfectly are glad they are here. I pray that they would feel loved and special and a part of the family of God. I thank you for the difference you make in our days. I thank you for the privilege we have to be together. I thank you for what we can learn together. And I pray Father, let your glory fall and let your anointing fall. We rebuke you, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus. You have no permission to be here. And this is where God is going to be glorified. And we thank you that you're going to speak to us through Kathy, your servant, who loves you. And I praise you, Father, that you will give her the exact words to say in these moments. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said. Amen. Please welcome Kathy.
Thank you. Okay, now I'm not used to this microphone. It just goes up here somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Okay, just put it back.
Do you know what it goes with?
I do. Okay. I do. The light? Do I want...
Projector.
Please, that would be awesome. Hey, y'all. Thanks for coming. I'm glad that 19 drops of rain didn't keep 20 women of God away tonight. Thank y'all for coming out in the rain. And I'm very excited to talk to you about Making Praise Personal, Part 2. So I'm just going to kind of pick up and sort of do some of the same things that Debbie talked about last week. But you'll see that, you know, we approach it from a little bit different angle. And so I'm very excited about it. And I think Debbie made it really clear from what she said tonight and what she said last week and what Jean said the week before that praising God and celebrating God is not just about singing. It's about a lifestyle. It's about a lifestyle of worship. As Debbie mentioned in her introduction, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And I loved the songs we sang. Debbie picked the praise tonight, but I had a little bit of input. And I didn't, you know, it's so neat to watch God work, because you'll kind of think, oh, that song feels right, but you're not really sure why. And then after you spend time before Him and studying His Word, and then you sing them after all that, you realize, oh, most of these songs are talking about singing from your heart. That my soul sings, that my heart has a song. Don't you want to be able to sing from your heart? I think that's why all of us are here, that we really, really want to be authentic. We really want to mean it. We don't want to just go through the motions. We don't want to just do the right thing. We want it to be a bubble up from the inside coming out, and for it to be authentic. And there's a verse that goes with this. The Lord reminded me of this verse, and it's Luke 6:45, and it says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's the old proverbial, what's down in the well is going to come out in the bucket thing, right? And what's really cool is He gave me a new application. I had not thought about this verse in that regard before, but I thought about what is in God's heart comes out of His mouth. So what we have here is we have got a whole big Bible full of His love letter to us, of what is true about His character, what He says we can expect from Him. That's His heart. That's His love letter to us. So I think that's really neat that God, out of the overflow of His heart, He speaks to us. And what He says in His Word is that His intent for our lives is that they be full, that they be rich, that they be abundant with love and with joy and with peace and all the fruits of His Spirit, that we have treasures that are ours because we belong to Him. And just for no other reason, not because we act right, not because we did it right, but because we're His children. It says in Romans 8 that, you know, His Spirit testifies to our spirit that we're children of God. That's who we are. That's our identity. And so that's how we get access to the good stuff, is because we belong to Him, and that we've been engrafted by faith. And as Debbie mentioned last week, we're children of Abraham. And Abraham, it tells us that in Galatians 3 also, that our inheritance is a rich storehouse of promises and all the principles of His Word, all the blessings that are ours. He's the fount of every blessing. So we got some illustrations of what that looked like on Debbie last week, and I think basically what she said, was that to get to that storehouse of riches in God, in Christ, that's ours, that's our inheritance, that it is absolutely essential that we become worshipers, that we learn how to praise the Lord. That's one of the key elements in that. And so tonight I'm going to tell you what it looks like on me in my quest to grow as one who worships in spirit and in truth. And so I want us to do sort of more the biblical basis tonight. I want to really kind of get our steak knives and get some kind of meaty looking. So with that, if you brought your Bible, I've got an extra one up here for anybody that needs one. And there's probably some in the back. And you can have it. And you know what? I'm going to read every single one of these verses. So if you don't have your Bible, and if you're not a visual learner and you're better to listen, do that too. In fact, I would give you this Bible, but I'm going to need it in a minute. So, okay, let me take another swig of water and get my hands free because I've got to get my wiggles out there. Okay. All right, James 1. Starting in verse 2, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." Verse 4, "Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Okay, let me read it to you from the New Living Translation because I thought this really said it well. It said, "Whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy." Whenever trouble comes your way, let it, make the choice to let it be an opportunity for joy. Now, is that your default response? Is that the way you normally respond when trouble comes your way? No. I mean, if you're like most of us, what you do is you have sort of a range of emotions that come up. You might feel angry. You might feel sad. You might feel frustrated. You might feel all kinds of things, irritated, frustrated, fear, lots of emotions that come up. But, you know, and so we don't welcome the troubles. We don't look at it as an opportunity because we don't want to feel those feelings, do we? We just, you know, want it to go away. But what James is teaching us is that this is an opportunity to make praise personal and authentic, because he's not just saying, say something that sounds good in those moments when trouble comes. But what he's saying that situation and those emotions that we feel when trouble comes are a signal from God. It's an opportunity. It's the alarm that goes off. It's the alert to tell us, turn to God. Turn to God. This is your moment when you're feeling that, to turn to Him. And I think that if I will invite Him, what this is saying to me is if I will invite Him into that trouble, you will find that you can find joy, that you really can rejoice in it. And I think that's why James says great joy here, because really if you think about it, it's easy, it's not anything great to be happy when your circumstances are great. I mean, how hard is that? Everybody does that, right? So great joy is joy that is extraordinary and taking an ordinary situation, an ordinary trial, an ordinary, you know, fly in the ointment, so to speak, or even a great trial, and letting God bring joy into that. Now, that's something. That really is something. And not everybody can do that, but we're going to learn how to do that. We are learning how to do that. And so let's talk about, okay, great. Well, so that's not what we're doing all the time right now. If we're not doing 100% of that, then maybe we can find out how. And I was very excited as I sat before the Lord, and I said, well, Lord, you know, help me. I mean, I see that he's saying do rejoice, but how do we do that in a way that's authentic? And he reminded me of this phrase, and I looked it up on my online search engine, and I found out that it's in Romans 5:2. And let me share that one with you. Romans 5:2, if you want to turn there in your Bible, you're welcome to. Just keep your finger on James 1 because we're going to be working our way through that passage. But in Romans 5:2, and I felt like when I looked at all the translations, the ESV said it so well. So let me read it to you from that version. It says, "Through him, through Jesus, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Okay, so what does this verse tell us about how to get access to the glory? And let me just read it through there, and you can scream out when you hear the right word. Through him, we have obtained access by faith. That's it. So faith is the master key. Now, we talked about this lock thingy. Debbie used this combination lock, and she said there's all kinds of biblical principles. It's the biblical principles that we know, the Word of God, the character of God, praising God, all that. You know, you practice the biblical principles that are in the Word of God, and you have a, God says you have a determined outcome, and that's tapping into the riches of our inheritance. But really, I mean, think about this being kind of behind a closed door, and the master key that gets you here is faith. I mean, to even get to the numbers, faith is the way you gain access. It's by faith that we gain access to the riches of the hope of the glory. So faith, basically, my definition, I just kind of made this up, but I think it would bear with the scriptures, is that's believing that what God's word says is true. Believing that he is who he said he is. Right? So I believe that God is who he says he is. And I want to invite that God in, and I want to expect him to give me access in such a way that the contents of that treasure are available to me. It's kind of like I mentioned, for those of you who've been around me recently, I have a new job as a pharmacist, and I'm a part-time floater pharmacist lady that's kind of like the substitute teacher of pharmacist. And so I go, you know, when they need somebody, they'll call me and say, hey, can you come in tomorrow? And I'll go. And I mean, I've thought about it before. You know, it would be really easy to just go in there with a white coat. You can buy those at any lab store in Birmingham. I could just go in there and pretend, and I could steal drugs and all that kind of stuff. But the way they know that I actually am the person that has the authority to access all the goodies in the pharmacy is that I have the master key. There's a little box that's kind of not too different from that, and it has the numbers to the safe in there. It has the alarm code in there. It's got the key that opens the drive-thru, all that. And if you don't have the master key, you don't get those numbers. And if you don't get those numbers, you don't get to the goodies. So that's how it's authentic. It's because I'm the real deal. You know, I'm the pharmacist on call, and I'm a child of Abraham, and I'm a child of God. So I can get there by having that master key, and that is faith, okay? So that's kind of a silly illustration, but sometimes those little silly things help me to remember in those moments when I want to be so aggravated, it'll flip a switch in my head and go, oh yeah, faith. So we want to exercise our faith. Jude 1:20 says, build yourselves up in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. So when trouble comes, it's an exercise of faith to rejoice, isn't it? It's a choice that we make. We exercise. We go, as this verse, the Greek word about build yourselves up is the word gymnasio. That means go get yourself a faith workout, basically, would be my paraphrase of that verse. And a faith workout, James tells us, going back to James chapter 1, gives us all kinds of good things, lots of blessings in Christ when we choose to do that. Verses 3 and 4 in James 1 say that we gain endurance, we gain perseverance, we gain growth in character, we gain maturity. That's good stuff, y'all. You know, so some of those valuables that we want to gain access to. We do it by getting faith and by working out our faith, by choosing to rejoice. And so our opportunity not only is to be built up and to grow in being worshipers, but it's also an opportunity for that thing we talk about, glory. And glory, just my little way of defining that, is a chance for God to shine. Think about that, don't you? You know, that's one of our purpose. That is our purpose in life, it says in Isaiah 43, is that we were created for his glory. And we are the most satisfied, and we are the most enriched. We are the richest when God is being glorified in our life. So God, when we do live by faith and walk by faith and act by faith, God is glorified. He shines in our lives. And that's good stuff, y'all. That's what we're all made to experience that. We were all made to have that. So our opportunity for God to shine, for him to prove that what he says in his word is true, he really is good, he really does love us, that he really does answer prayer, that his word really is true, all those things. James does a great job here because he's given you all these principles and then he tells you how to do it. James 1:5 is one of my all-time most frequently prayed verses in the entire Bible. I don't know how I lived before I knew this verse. James 1:5, and I'll read you 5 and 6 from the New Living. It says, if you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him and he will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone, in Christ alone. My hope is found. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. So, to gain that wisdom, I just need to go to him. I just need to ask. I need to believe that he's going to answer because he said he would. And so, as I mentioned before, I get up early and I praise because I need my spirit man to be strengthened and get that work out. And a wonderful, wonderful verse that goes along with that is Ephesians 3:16-17. It says, it's a prayer. It's Paul praying for us, the church. And here's the prayer he prays. He says that God would grant you according to his riches, all that good stuff we're trying to get to, all that stuff we want to access. Paul says, may God grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. Okay, so let's hear what he's saying there, what he's praying for us, the church. What he's saying is it's possible. It is possible to get to those riches and treasures that are our inheritance. It's possible to experience God's glory right here, right now, whatever your right here and right now might be. And our ordinary lives, when God's glory comes, when God shines in your life, your ordinary life becomes extraordinary. You don't have to have some like win the lottery thing. You can just have just your everyday little thing happen, and it's extraordinary. And we already have everything we need to live that way. Because why? Because it tells us that Christ dwells inside of us in our hearts. That's how we can sing from our heart, because Christ dwells in our heart, and that we're strengthened by the person of his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And in the past, we've called that place the vault. You can call it your spirit. It's the place where the Holy Spirit lives. It's where we have communion with God. It's that inmost being. God desires that we know truth, and the inmost being is that place, the vault, the spirit. And he promises, and he says, he prays, and I would encourage you to pray that God would strengthen you in that place in you. And did you hear how he ended it? That we would know, that we would be rooted and grounded in his love. So you think about what we sang about on Christ, the solid rock I stand. When you know for certain that I know this is not feeling like somebody's loving me right this minute. This is not what I would have chosen for myself, but I stand certain, being built up in the faith and declaring my faith, and sometimes singing it is the best way to do it, because there's nothing that you know to say other than just, I'm going to pick a song that somebody that knows how to sing wrote, and I'm going to sing it by faith, and it's going to help me to gain access to that truth. It's going to help me to tap into that truth. Oh yeah, God really does love me. He really does. And the way I know that is because he died on the cross for me. And really, I mean, at the end of the day, we do have something. If that's the only thing you can praise him for, we can all praise him for that. Amen. So that's my firm place to stand. And there's one thing that God can't do and he won't do. And y'all that have known me for very long know what I'm about to say, right? Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. So what he's saying to us is, I can't not keep my word. It is impossible for me not to keep my word. And what I'm saying to you is, I will keep my promises. I may not do it in the time that you want me to do it in. I may not do it in the way, it may not play out the way you think it should, but I will keep my promises, y'all. That's what God's saying when he says that. And so when we release faith in that, when we rehearse that, when we sing this, it helps us to do what James is talking about. It keeps us from being double-minded. It keeps us from wavering. It keeps us from being tossed about and blown about by the winds of our circumstances. And it also does the thing that was probably my favorite thing about the first night, was something that Debbie prayed in her prayer. And she said, how many of us, you know, all of us would agree with the fact, I think she said something along this line, that praise is such a great alternative to complaining. And I thought, oh, ouch, that was for me. Thank you for saying. And I'm going to tell you in a minute a little story that you'll find out, oh, wow, that was really for me. But so it does that thing. So, you know, in Psalms 37, it says, fret not. Keeps us from fretting. Keeps us from grumbling like the Israelites. Keeps us from complaining if we're busying ourselves declaring what God said is true about his goodness. So we've got hope for glory. In every situation, Colossians 1:27 says that Christ in me that we were talking about is my hope of glory. So let's look now back at James, kind of get back on track here, skipping to James 1:9 for more instructions on how to experience that glory and how to make praise personal. James 1:9, and I'm reading from the Amplified. It should read right along with yours, but just with a little amplification there. It says, let the brother in humble circumstances glory in his elevation as a Christian called to true riches and to be an heir of God. Yours probably says, let the brother in humble circumstances glory in that low in that high position. But I like the way it amplified it, because what it's saying is, when you are weak, it's an opportunity to really, I mean, that is God's moment to shine. I mean, he really can shine in a major way when you've got weakness. And So the way I paraphrase that for myself is, okay, wait a minute. What James is telling us, what God is saying to us right here, is that our weak places are a place or a platform for praise. Our deficits are a platform for praise. Okay, that's kind of radical, but I mean, it's a great, powerful, overcoming way to live. And it's kind of like that word for praise that we studied, tada praise, which means it's a faith praise. It's a stepping out and saying, thank you, God, for who you are in this situation. I'm counting on you. I'm trusting what you said is true. And I believe in your character in this situation. And by my praise, I'm inviting you to come in and show off and show up. So we can get those true riches. So I'm just kind of building up to my little testimony here. So back to me taking it, making it personal as my in my new job. This is my, I know y'all think I'm obsessed with this, and I kind of am, because it's a big, I mean, it's kind of a big deal. As far as little old me is, I stepped out in faith. I felt certain of the call of God, that this was of God in me. And I've told this story before, and I'm not going to tell it again tonight, but I'm just, trust me here. The testimony is, anybody who knows me at all, first of all, would say to me, you're doing what? I've gone back to work as a pharmacist. And how do you do that anyway? I said, well, you have to have a pharmacy degree. And that's right. And so how did you get one like that? I mean, it's kind of like nobody that knows me knows that about me. So I'm just trust me, God called me away from the field of pharmacy many, many, many years ago. And he called me back to it this year. And I want to just tell you that I am very weak. I am very vulnerable. Because I'm just not up to speed. I'm not up to date. I'm in a place, y'all, where if God didn't show up, we're all in big trouble. I mean, think about it. Okay, this woman right here, the one who has not practiced pharmacy. I mean, no, let me just say, I have never practiced retail pharmacy ever before this February. Ever. This person, I know, that I am the final, I am the final link in the healthcare team that is the, that I'm the last person that checks off and says, this is the right medicine, and I'm looking at your entire profile, and I say, you're good to go. So I can just say, you know, I need you, Jesus. I have been literally on my face on my face, begging God, protect me, and more than that, protect my patients. Help me, help me, help me, Jesus. But y'all, what I've learned is, this is what's so neat. You know that verse, I don't know, I mean, maybe y'all really like this verse. I never really liked this verse, but I can live to testify that it's a beautiful thing that I really, really can do what James just said and what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9. I can glory in my weakness because y'all, every stinking day, every stinking day, every single day, God has been faithful. He has showed up. He has protected me. He's protected my patients. I won't say I haven't made a mistake, but y'all, they have either been caught or they've been tiny or it's been, I mean, it's been a miracle. Y'all, this is miracle ground. So I'm just saying, that may not sound like a big deal to you, but I can tell you I would start getting nervous 2 days before. I mean, it brought up a lot of fear in me, a lot of anxiety in me because I was so aware of my deficits and my weakness. But I can say that God has been faithful. So what I would ask you to do, and just in this moment while we're talking about James making us a challenge, in your humble circumstances, in your place of weakness, in your place of inadequacy, I mean, maybe you don't have any of those. But maybe you could get in touch with one that's kind of weak. Or desperately weak. I mean, y'all, I was desperate. That would be a place where you could glorify God. And that you could really step out in faith and exercise your faith and trust Him. And make an act of faith by praising Him. And watch Him show up and watch Him shine. Y'all, it's an amazing way to live. So, okay, so that enough said about that. I think I've made my point. What about the areas where the need's not so apparent? God tells us He's gifted us all in certain areas. We have places where we're strong. We've got places that are kind of freebies from God. You know, that you just operate in strength. It's kind of no big deal. It just kind of rolls off your back. What about those? Because God tells us He's gifted each one of us. And let's see what James 1:10 says. So the next verse, James 1:10 says, "And the rich person ought to glory in being humbled by being shown his human frailty, because like the flower of the grass, he will pass away." So let me paraphrase that. It says, my strengths, my gifts, your strengths, your gifts, every place that you're rich is also a platform for God's glory. And how can we say that? Because really, can you say with integrity that you did anything to get that? I mean, just, it's a freebie, right? That's what the meaning of the word gift is. You got it for free. It was just bestowed upon you. And I mean, we know that because at the end of this chapter, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from where? Above. It's from the Father. So my ministry and your ministry, whatever that may be, yours probably looks different from mine. Mine probably looks different from yours. Yours probably looks different from the person on the back row. But whatever your strength is, whatever your gift is, where God's called you to give Him glory and where you do that with ease and with grace, that's a place to give glory to God as well and to be humble. And really, if you think about it, it is a humbling thing to be used by God, isn't it? I mean, you just think, God, why did you pick me? Isn't that so cool that you did? Thank you, God. So it really is a place to praise Him for that, knowing that our adequacy, as Paul says, is not from ourselves, but it's from God. So let's talk about the promises, praising the promises. And James sets us up for that in verse 12. James 1:12 says, "Blessed," and I'm reading from the Amplified here, "blessed, happy to be envied, is the man who is patient under trial, and stands up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him." So what's he saying here? He's saying, be patient and stand firm under trial, and you are going to win if you're counting on God. Okay? And so, you know, y'all, I'm not patient by nature. I'm a get-her-done kind of girl. I don't like the waiting game. But inevitably, there's going to be a gap. There's going to be a time lag between what I'm believing God for and then His fulfillment of that promise. But I'm learning. I've begun to learn the beauty of waiting on God. It really, really is an amazing thing. And I brought this, my show tell. You know, Debbie, for those of you who weren't here, brought neon panties last week for her show and tell. And I tried really hard to drum up something like a pair of, like, fluorescent boxer shorts or something like that, but I just couldn't do that. That was not authentic, and it was not personal. So I decided not to do that. I decided to be the true Bible nerd that I am, which I gladly sign up to be the Bible nerd. But this is my show and tell. These pages right here are my show and tell. And what these are my promise pages. And each one of these was birthed from a time when I had a set of circumstances where I didn't know what to do. And I really needed God. This first one, and y'all, please don't have comparison. I want to just tell you this right here, single space, front and back, squeezed down with the margins bumped out as far as they'll go, is my list of promises for my son, Jackson. And he has been my personal spiritual growth chairman. Getting him from adolescence into med school, I'm just here to say, God was rich and abundant with me and giving me verses to stand on because y'all, I needed them. Praise the Lord. I can tell you, like Joshua said, not one of these promises has not been fulfilled. And I, if you'll sit, I can tell you, word and verse, that God has fulfilled every single one of these promises. And this page was generated as I cried out to God from my place of need, from my place of fear, from my place of ignorance, from my place of sin, from my places where I messed up. That is how, as I sat before the Lord and said, help me, God, I need your wisdom, he would give me something to stand on. And this is that. Now, I'm thankful that Mary Lee does not struggle from comparison, because really, I know. And really, y'all, to be really honest, I want to tell you that really, I just... actually, for her college, I had one verse. For her college journey, and this lasted about 6 years, had one verse, and it was this one. I know. Seriously. Now, I'm not going to say I didn't have verses to pray for Merrily, but really just like big old words from God. This was it. It says, be of good... No. It's Jeremiah. No, sorry. Psalm 73:25 from the New Living. I will never forget the day he gave it to me, and I saw it, and I knew it, and I believed it. And he said, you, God, will guide her with your counsel, leading her to a glorious destiny. And y'all, I'm here to tell you that from front to back, boom, ba-boom, ba-boom, he led her with his counsel. And I wish I could tell you all the glory moments along the way. It was spectacular. I only needed that one because I watched it happen day in, day out, month in, year out. So anyway, that's that for all of you. I just thought, you know what, if I whip this out, people are going to go, well, great, no wonder God answers your prayers. So, you know, there you go. And then I have one for my going back to work. And y'all, he gave me this fast because I needed it bad. And it, in fact, you know, quickly and in quantity. Okay, and I have a little prize for you. This is your promise page. This is not complete, but it's the handout that you got at the front. This is the spiritual blessing page. Come thou fount of every blessing. He's already come. And these are just a starting place. These are spiritual blessings that are yours in Christ. And it's the verse that, let me tell you how I got this. Debbie asked me for some retreat to write a handout. And I thought, and she said, you know, just write down what people can, you know, trust God for. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, you want me to come up with a page for what people can trust God for? Okay, wait a minute. I mean, it was one of those, and I think she said it that way on purpose, you know, to make me really seek the Lord and make me really think. And so I sat there, and I kind of twiddled my thumbs, and I kind of did that thing you do with your hair, and I kind of scratched my brow, and I just finally said, Lord, what can I say? I mean, what even is the answer to that question? And I thought about, I mean, let me just say it in the song we sang, in Christ alone, my hope is found. And I think that's where I started, was with hope. And I just went, okay, God, that's good. And so I thought, yes, here it is. It's in the book. It applies to all of us. And I just started from there, and then I started going, okay, that's okay. Okay, yes. Okay, I believe that. Yes, and I believe that. And y'all, you can appropriate these verses in any verse in the Word of God. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:20. And You can have these, or you can have any of the ones that are ours in the Word of God. And when you do that, what you're doing is you're acting like a child of Abraham. And I would encourage you to do what I've done and to do what Abraham did. And it tells us what he did in Romans 4:20. It says, no unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Did you get that? Abraham stayed with his feet firmly planted on the solid rock of God, and he grew strong in faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Good enough for Abraham? Good enough for us. So y'all, I will tell you what I do, and then I'm going to go to my testimony now. I will get up. If I have to be there at 7 in the morning, I will get up. I will set my clock for 5 o'clock, and I will get up. I will turn my coffee pot on. I will pack my lunchbox, and I will go sit in my place, and I will pull out my paper. And I'll sit there, Lord, do you have anything special for me today? Yes. And I'll pull out my paper, and y'all, I mean, I'm still, you know, he's kind of released me from some of the anxiety. I feel more, way more at peace than I did. But I'll just start, and I'll say, Lord, you said, and Lord, you said. Now remember, Lord, you said that you're going to go before me, and you're going to make your footsteps into a way. And, you know, so I'll just do that, and I'll just build myself up. And all the way to work, I'll sing. Okay, so fast forward or quick rewind to we're talking about the 4 Monday nights in June, right? So on the day after the first Monday night in June, I get up. I've got to go to this community about 45 minutes away. And I'm not very strong. I'm not feeling strong mentally, physically, or emotionally. I needed to be strengthened in my faith. So guess what I did? I gave praise and glory to God. And I praised the promises that he gave me. I get in the car. I'm building myself up in the whole thing. Most holy faith, saying, God, and you said, and that's reminded me of that promise, and I'm doing that. Okay. Get on the road, and there is a paving crew right there. And y'all know what I was... The default I wanted to go to was what? Complaining. But I said, my one thing was to praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you thanks in all things. I thought, okay, Lord, how can I make that personal? Do I really even mean that? Is that just the right thing to say? I thought, God, what can I say that I really mean here? I want to be a person of integrity. And so I sat there for a minute, and I thought, Lord, give me wisdom. And here's a thought that came to my mind. The pharmacy can't run till you get there. I thought, oh, yeah. And there's probably nobody's going to die if it opens 5 minutes late. And I thought, that's right, God. So I give you thanks, God. If I get there 5 minutes late, it's not a big deal, is it? I mean, I'm not going to lose my joy over that. Thank you, Jesus. So, I mean, I'm already feeling better. About that time, guess what happens when we praise? The flag goes up, and I got to go by. And I thought, woohoo! I'm liking the way that worked. Okay, so that was from the overflow of the heart, the mouth spoke. Okay, right? So I get there, and y'all, it was 1 minute after. When I got there, nobody was there. It was like, we got this. Okay, so, and let me just tell you that this is one of my favorite places to go. It's a small community. The people are friendly. Hey, darling. And just, you know, it's that. It's just a low-key kind of place. Okay, and my coworkers are sweet as the day is long. I mean, you just think, this is pharmacy heaven right here. Put my name down for this spot every time it's open. So I go in, and I notice quickly that there is something rotten in the state of Denmark. There's a little fume in the air. There's a little toad going on. And I'm thinking, this is not my normal experience coming in here. And so I'm just kind of, and the phone is ringing off the hook. And don't go to the pharmacy on the first day of the month if you can help it, because the first day of the month or the first Monday or Tuesday of the month, busy. So the phone's ringing, and there's got a basket stacked to the ceiling, and it is going to be a bit, we already know it's going to be a busy day. But we're all sweet here, right? And the patients are sweet, and we're going to have us a good day anyway. I was not having any helpers in the consider it all joy my brethren department. Wasn't. No. Nobody was going there with me. So I'm sitting there thinking, Oh, now I need to go back. Let me go back. Let me back you up for this story to really, really have its zinger. Making praise personal. Okay, so before I'm waking up and I'm needing strength, right? Let me go back to that moment. So I said, Lord, did you have anything you want to say to me this morning? Because I really need your strength today. I'm feeling so tired. And he reminded me of a verse that's kind of one of my, I don't have it on a page. I don't have a Bob page, but my husband Bob, is this is a Bob verse that I've prayed for him for years. God gave it to me 100 years ago. I didn't even know where it was in the Bible. And I stuck it in my search engine and I went to it. But I kind of knew like, this is not for Bob. This is for you because it's a verse about strength. And so this is, I'm making praise personal. I'm making this personal moment from God personal. And I'm personalizing this verse, okay? So y'all get it when it says she, it really says he, okay? So here's my personalized version of Isaiah 22, 20 and following from the Message. God speaking, I'll call my servant. I'll dress her in a robe, and I'm thinking of righteousness or garments of praise. I'll put a belt on her, thinking about the belt of the armor of truth. I'll give her authority, which was big because I wasn't feeling very authoritative in my job yet, but yet I was the person in charge. So I thought, that's good, God. Okay, thank you for that. She'll be a leader to the people. I'll give her the key. I'm liking that. That's, you know, kind of a good word. She'll have the run of the place. And I thought, okay, that's so good. I'll open any door and keep it open, or like any door and keep it locked. And I thought, gosh, I didn't even know that was in Isaiah. I knew that was in Revelation, that I'll open the door that can't be shut, and I'll shut the door that can't be opened, and I'll pound her like a nail into a solid wall. Everything will hang on her, even the daily operation of the place. I thought, okay, I'm good to go. I'm feeling strong. I'm ready to go. So that was the verse that God had a personal word, you might say, that he had given me that morning. So I get in there. I have Denmark is rotten, and we had a print. Think about a pharmacy with a printer problem on the first Tuesday of the month. It's reason. If you were going to go the not consider it all joy, brethren, you know, you could kind of cop yourself a tube pretty quick over that. But I just kept keeping it positive, kept saying, praying under my breath. Thank you, Jesus. I'm giving thanks in all things. Thank you, Jesus. You're with me. I know you are. Thank you, Lord. And so when it started getting really personal for me is when I'm standing there. And let me just tell you how it works. I've got this spot where I stand all day long, and it's in front of these two safes. And on the front of the safe, it has a combination lock. Two doors, just like, not just exactly like that, but just look at that, and that's what you've got in front of you. And all the narcotics are back there, and the only person that can get to it is me. So I'm standing there, and when one of these narcotic prescriptions come by, it is start to finish is my job. So I opened the right-hand safe. I punched in the right combination. The door opened. I got my medicines out. It was OxyContin, by the way. And I was counting it out. I did my business, and then I went to shut the door, and it wouldn't shut. Oh, shoot. It's one of those electronic gizmos. And you know how sometimes they'll kind of get a little temperamental on you. And meanwhile, the phone's ringing and the business is coming by. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to let it calm down for just a minute. I'm going to go on. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. You know, the whole time. So it comes like that. So now I get the next narcotic prescription. And y'all, it's on the left-hand side. I thought, okay, you know, here I go. So I get my combination and I go. Y'all, it wouldn't open. So this went on, I'm going to have to abbreviate for the sake of time, but this went on for a while, and I just kept kind of shoving those tasks to the side and just kept doing my job and kept thanking the Lord and just kept breathing and praying every second. And then it hit me. I said, okay, Jesus, we've got, like, just think about somebody that was on morphine. They're hurting, y'all. They're probably terminally ill. And so this person has called five times, and it was like, oh, okay, God, now I really... this is my alert. I'm all of a sudden getting that in the stomach going, oh, Jesus, now what do I do? And so this is, and I'm just looking down going, okay, God, what do I do? And I looked, and there's a 800 number right here on the front of the safe. And so I called. I said, thank you. Yes, Lord. So I call, and I go, hi. And I told him who I was, where I was. And I said, yes, sir, I can tell you the problem. Yeah, I've got a door that is open that can't be shut, and I've got a door that's shut that can't be open. No. Yeah. And Debbie had just brought that lock. She didn't tell about it that way. So I didn't catch it the first time. He said, well, I can't help you. You've got to call this number. So, yes, sir. It's Kathy Girardeau. I'm the pharmacist. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can tell you the situation. Yeah. I've got a door that's open that can't be shut. And I've got a door that's shut that can't be open. And he said, well, can you tell that to the... So I get this guy in India. Y'all, 45 minutes later, I'm still doing... And it hit me probably about the fourth or fifth time. I said, I've got a door that's open that can't be shut. I've got a door that's shut that can't be... Okay, go back to your verse. There's a door that's open that can't be shut. There's a door that's shut that can't be open. And I've given you the key and I've given you authority. And I'll give you the charge of the place. And I thought, oh, I'm the person in charge. You have called me. You've anointed me. Take your position that I have called you to. And in love and in peace and in joy and with calmness and with authority, announce to your coworkers, okay, coworkers, I've got a solution. Please tell anybody that these are narcotic from these safes right here that we can't do it for the next 4 hours. That'll be whatever time it was. They said, oh, okay. What's the worst that can happen? They can go to another drugstore, right? I just went, oh, that was so great, Vaughn. Okay, so it just felt so awesome to think God knew this was going to happen, and he was teaching. It was like he was freeze framing for me. When trouble comes, it's an opportunity for great joy. That God is here. He is near. Draw near to him. He'll draw near to you. He's not going to abandon you. He will rescue you. He will meet you. He will give you the wisdom that you need. Y'all, and joy comes in the details of your life. That ordinary circumstance turns into an extraordinary circumstance because God is there. He's here. He's near. And he even prepares you in advance for those. So what was cracking me up is Debbie and I were going to get together and talk about the next week of the four Monday nights in June. And so the very next day, I'm standing on her doorstep. And, y'all, frankly, I was a little punch drunk. I was tired after 2 days in a row in the pharmacy and exciting Monday night and, you know, all that. And so I'm standing there on her front porch on that Wednesday, and I kind of look over there. I'm waiting for it. And she can't ever hear the doorbell because she's got the praise music going on, like the highest decibel. So I'm standing there and ring the doorbell again, and I'm just kind of spaced out, and I'm looking over there, and sitting on her doorstep is the safe door that was her inspiration for the lock. And I go, God, I did not even put two and two together that Debbie's been talking about this lock that gives us access to the riches of our inheritance in Christ. Wow. I think I know my testimony for the week I get to teach. So anyway, I hope that is sort of a silly illustration, but to me it was very tender and sweet about how God really, really will meet you in those circumstances. So let me just close with that. And an encouragement, y'all, that when you get jammed up, when you get blocked, when you get frustrated, when you get irritated, when those emotions start rising up, that's your minute to stop and say, okay, God, I'm calling, and here's what he did. It says in Psalm 40, and I'll just read these last three verses, and then we'll close in prayer. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And you know what happened when he did that? He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. So let's close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are a God who keeps your word. God, that you are a God who knows the end from the beginning. You know in advance every single jot and every single tittle and every single tick of the clock about what we're going to face on any given day. Thank you, God, that you care, that you have a way of escape, that you have wisdom for us. And Lord, that you just wait, it says in Isaiah, you wait on high to have compassion on us, to extend your loving kindness to us, to express your love to us. Lord, I pray that we would be a people that thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us in this exercise. Lord, help us to seek you out. Help us to find a promise to stand on. And Lord, help us to extend faith and exercise faith in that promise, Lord. I just pray for each woman that's here tonight that you would make her praise personal this week, Lord, that you would help her to take the risk, to step out and stand on the rock of your word, Lord. and that you would show up and shine and bring your glory to that situation. Father, I pray that that would become a lifestyle for each one of us in a greater and greater measure. And thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your creativity, your love, and the joy that you've given to each one of us, that in your presence, Lord, there is indeed fullness of joy. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.